Time to talk it over with the Hall of Famer, Bernie Federko. It's Pucks with Bernie and Panger. And make sure you subscribe. That way, each week, it is delivered directly to you, our hockey conversations here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, presented by Urban Chestnut, Marie Davila Senior Living, Greenville University, Fast Eddie's Bonaire, and Triad Bank. And Bernie, as we talk, the Blues are riding, I guess riding's the wrong word, but suffering a three-game losing streak. I think if you're going to play 82 games, you're going to have the ups and downs. We know that. We've talked a lot about how Craig Berube kind of has that even keel. What do you think the guys are thinking right now? Because they've had so much success and to have three straight games where they come up short.
Well, the guys, I think, are really frustrated for the most part right now. They are getting chances. I think the thing, there is lots of ups and downs. I mean, guys have been through peaks and valleys in their careers before. This is a pretty veteran team. But I think that when you're not getting chances, then you a little get more frustrated. But obviously, they're not scoring right now, only four goals in the last three games. And I think the chances are there. They hit posts, what, three posts last night. And if there were chances coming, I think then it would be a little more, disappointing for them. But the fact that they're getting all these chances, I think they're saying, hey, it's just a matter of time that the puck will start going back in the net and they'll start winning games again.
Yeah, it's asking a lot, whether it's Binnington or Allen, to almost be perfect. When you're having a hard time scoring, doesn't that just kind of build a little bit of pressure? Even the goalies maybe start to feel it when they notice that the offense is hit a lull.
Yeah, it's really frustrating for the goaltenders. I mean, I even said that last night. I mean, the last two losses that Bennington's had in the road were both shutouts against the Blues. So, I mean, if you're not scoring goals for your goaltenders, I mean, there's more pressure on them, and they know that they have to be almost perfect. But I think that this is just a matter, too, Martin, is that when you consider you got no Tarasenko for the year, I mean, that's 35 to 40 goals that you have out of the lineup. I mean, you've got no Steen, you got no Blay. When you've got guys like that out of the lineup, I mean, Sundqvist has been chipping in with the offense, and now he's not in the lineup. So hopefully some of these guys will obviously, we're not going to get Tarasenko back till probably late in the year and Blay for another couple of months. But Steen and Sundqvist supposedly are skating, and hopefully they can come back and add a little bit of veteran presence as well.
What do you think a guy like Jordan Kyra has to do? He got a couple of shots off in Buffalo. What does he need to do to stay? I mean, is it just scoring goals? Or, I mean, you've gotten the sense throughout that they really want him in San Antonio to kind of keep developing, but I'm excited about the upside there. It's hard not to be, especially with all the names that are out. Do you think there's anything he can do where they have no choice but to keep him here?
Well, they want him to score. If he scores, obviously he's going to stay, and I don't think he looked out of place at all last night. He played a little over 15 minutes. I mean, he had a great chance right off the bat where he stole the puck. It would have been nice if he would have scored the goal, then it would have got him, you know, having a lot more confidence. But I think he's a kid that's got the upside is great. I mean, he can shoot. We all see how fast he is. It is a big boys game now, though, a lot more physical. Guys are a lot more strong in the National Hockey League as opposed to the American Hockey League. So I think he is still learning that part of the game defensively, and I know he talked about that in the quotes that he had, that he's really tried to work on his defense down in San Antonio. But, I mean, he's a guy that's going to be here at some point in time, and if he scores, he's going to stay, and that's what he wants to do. He does not want to go back to the minors, so hopefully the puck will go in for him, and hopefully they see the right things for him, that he doesn't need any more development, that he can develop here, and if that's the case, he will be able to stay.
And Craig Berube threw him right on that top line. We've seen Robert Thomas at times paired up with Jaden Schwartz and Braden Schenn, which is a great luxury. If you're a young guy, you get thrown with those two. But I wonder for them, it's got to be a little hard because they're both highly skilled players, but sort of a rotation as to who their third member is. I know Tarasenko's out. There's nothing they can do about it. But what kind of challenge does that bring for the two of them to constantly have a different third guy?
Well, it makes things different, especially for the center iceman. I mean, everybody has different nuances, and when you play with a guy for quite a while, you know exactly kind of that sixth sense where he's going to be, or how he's going to support you, or how he gets open in certain spots. I mean, everybody kind of has habits out there, and when you're playing with a guy for a while, you kind of understand his habits. So it is makes it a little more difficult, but I mean, we're talking high-end guys. We're talking players that have a lot of skill, and Jordan Kyra is one of those guys that has a lot of skill. He knows how to score goals. He's always been the type of guy that's been able to score no matter what league he's played in, so he obviously knows where the holes are and where to find those soft spots where he can get the puck and score goals. But it's adjustments all the time, but they're highly skilled. Both Schwartz and Shen are highly skilled. They both read the play very well. They see the ice very well. So it takes a little bit while. It takes maybe a couple of games to get used to another guy. And it makes it difficult if you keep, you know, switching players. But there's all these guys do have skills and are good players. So it's just a matter of time to continue to get different used to different guys.
And not just the offense being slow, the power play's been a little bit off. That really it had been an issue the last couple of years. And then the start to this season, it had been great. If you're Craig Berube and his staff, how much with the lines, with the power plays, how much do you, you know, leave it alone? How much do you tinker? I guess as a player, you're always looking and saying, oh, man, he's freaking out or he doesn't know what he's doing. Where do you think they are with tweaking right now? And if you were Berube, what would you do?
Well, you really can't tinker too much. I mean, the power play actually is, they moved the puck around very well in the second power play last night. David Perron ended up hitting the crossbar on the one chance. So, I mean, you've got still five or six. You probably on a team, you've always got six or seven or eight tie-in guys, which the Blues do. So, I mean, you can tinker with those eight guys. You can kind of intermatch what do you want to do, depending on who you're playing against or how different teams kill penalties. So you can maybe, if you need to shoot the puck more from the point, maybe have your shooters out on the point more, or if you have to work it down, maybe you adjust some things down below the goal line and this and that. But there's plenty of talent, and I mean, he has been tinkering, but it's still, when you're getting chances like they are, you really don't worry about that much. I mean, yeah, they're 0 for 10 the last 10 power plays they've had, but it's the quality chance they've had, and sometimes it's a big goaltending save or it's a post that's hit. But I don't think it's really a matter of panic. They're still in the top 10 power plays in the league, and I think that says it all with the skill that they have.
Blues are home for four in a row. That includes Vegas on Thursday night. If I had told Bernie Federico 40 years ago, hey, there's going to be an NHL team in Las Vegas, well, heck, you probably wouldn't have believed there'd be a team in Raleigh-Durham or even in Florida. But I would think Vegas, man, if I'm a player, is that a destination team now? Do you think people want to go there because it's Vegas?
Yeah, I think the guys, I mean, I know we've talked to Paul Stastny. He's been there, what, a year and some now, and he really likes it there. He said it's a great town. The sport has been absolutely unbelievable. And, hey, it's Vegas. I mean, everybody wants to be in Vegas. But they're a really good hockey club. I mean, they started out great a couple years ago. Last year was kind of an off year for them. This year has not been a good start for them. They played very well last night, though. They beat Chicago 5-1. So they are a team, I think, that as the year progresses, they've got plenty of quality veteran guys. And, you know, they've got a really solid core there with guys like Mark Stone and Pacioretty and Carlson and Marchessault. Paul Stastny is he's still getting up there and maybe in his years, but he's got a lot of veteran leadership to provide that. I mean, of course, everybody remembers Ryan Reeves. So this is a team, Marc-Andre Fleury is back after missing a few games, and their goaltending now is really good. So I expect this is a team that's going to continue to get better and better, but this will be another tough one for the Blues against a team that's really starting to turn the corner, I think, with the Vegas Golden Knights.
And we talk about expansion into different or unique sounding cities. Seattle's going to have themselves an NHL team. Certainly it's a huge market. There's a ton of major companies up there. I don't doubt that it'll work money wise, but it sounds weird too to hear Seattle, maybe a natural rivalry with Vancouver. You think the league is in good position to expand at this point?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, I think the league has been very smart about the way they've expanded. They do need another team in the West now. Right now, with only 31 teams, it's nice to get that even number with 32, and then it pairs down very, very easily. But, I mean, Seattle's wanted a team for an awful long time. I mean, they've got junior teams out there in Portland and in Washington State, and the support for hockey has been very, very good. And as you said, they're going to have a real great rivalry with Vancouver. I mean, there's so many people on the waiting list for season tickets in Vancouver. I think there's going to be a lot of people even from Vancouver will just drive across the border down to Seattle to watch a lot of the games. But I think it's great that Seattle's coming in. I mean, Vegas has been a great hotspot. I don't think anybody expected to be as good as it is. And yes, you mentioned Raleigh-Durham. You mentioned Florida. I mean, there's teams all the time, all over the place now that you would never expected to be NHL teams, but they're drawing well. I mean, Florida's even starting to draw a lot better than historically they've been over the course of the last couple of years. I mean, if you win, you really create a lot of great hockey fans, and I think the teams that are winning, even Arizona now is really starting to fill their building now because they're a really good hockey club.
Yeah, you know, Seattle's weird because they've been a two-sport town for a while because the Sonics left. So you had the Mariners and the Seahawks, and you look at it and you say, they've got Amazon, they've got Microsoft, they've got Starbucks. I'm probably forgetting some. This is off the top of my head, but that's a lot of it these days. If it's going to work, you got to have some of that corporate money behind you.
Well, there's no question about it. And they do have a lot of corporate money. And really, the you know, when you talk about football and baseball, I mean, you've got really a fallen, really a fall sport with football into early winter, and then you've got this, you know, of course, spring and summer for baseball. So, I mean, there's a void for all the people there in Seattle for a winter sport, and now with hockey coming in, I think that'll be booming for them, and I think it's just going to be wonderful for the entire area.
All right, we're going to come back, talk a little All-Star Game format with Bernie Federico. It's the Hall of Famer here on Pucks with Bernie and Panger. Great to have Urban Chestnut on board. You know about their great beer and the great beer garden hanging out in the Grove. They've expanded. There's just been the explosion of craft beers. But boy, it goes way beyond that with Urban Chestnut. They have become part of the St. Louis scene. I love that Urban Underdog. If you haven't had it, it's a great American lager. A lot of beer snobs out there. I get it. My wife is a perfect example. Not a huge beer fan. I rolled out a little Urban Underdog. She absolutely loved it. So whatever your palate is, they've got a taste for you. You know about the Panger Award presented by the good folks at Urban Chestnut every single week. Huge hockey fans. And really, you can find their product now all around town, whether you're at the Schnucks Grocery Store, or if you're at a sporting event, Blues game. How about at the zoo? That's right. I had the Grizzly Ridge Colch the other day. They have expanded. It's not just the great product, it's the great people behind it. It's more than just this beer that you're enjoying. They're part of the movement in St. Louis, getting things done and changing the whole area there, the Grove. And if you talk about the connection with the MLS, I think we had the big celebration with the MLS for the Lou. That was at Urban Chestnut in the Grove location. You can find them all around town. I started with the Wingnut, still love that, moved into the Zwickel. Currently just hooked on Urban Underdog. Check them out. Neighborhood grocery store, liquor store, guaranteed all around town. It's Urban Chestnut, part of the St. Louis sports community.
Since 1960, serving the families of St. Louis, Marie Davila Senior Living. At the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road, the beautiful fountain greets you for the 22-acre campus. Full range of senior living. Independent living at the Villa Estate. Skilled nursing, memory care. They have it all. Spacious dining room, salon, transportation around town, exercise and pool, private rooms, hands-on care. You're not a resident at Marie Davila, you are considered a guest. Fred and Mary Kay Weezahan and their sons live on site. It is family run and it has that family feel. You've heard Tony and I talk about how this was home for the legendary Red Shandings for many years. He was also on the board and helped the original owners start Marie Davila back in 1960. MarieDavila.com. We suggest you go online and schedule a tour.
Here's the owner of the world-famous Fast Eddie's Bonaire, Eddie Scholler, and Hall of Fame hockey legend Brett Hull.
Eddie, I was just telling some friends about Fast Eddie's Bonaire, and I just didn't have the words to describe it.
Well, Brett, I've had that same problems for years. The words I use are, you know, it's a lot of fun, it's huge, it's an adventure.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. This place is more than a bar. I mean, the coldest beer, the best live entertainment, everyone knows about the great food, but Fast Eddie's is far more than that.
I'll tell you what, it's kind of like, I don't know anybody that's been to heaven, but I'll bet you that's hard to describe too.
Well, I sure hope I get to heaven.
You're telling
me. I can tell you that.
You're telling me.
Fast Eddie's experience is tough to describe, and all I know is it is fun.
Man, I tell you what, we've been here 35 years, and it explains itself. I don't know if it's as good as heaven, but it might be heaven on earth.
Well, I would write it down in your notes in your phone, because once you get home, the experience is going to be hard to remember. I've been all over the world, and there's only one Fast Eddie's Bonaire. So if you're 21, head over to Clark Bridge to Fast Eddie's Bonaire in Alton.
All right, you just heard the commercial. That's Fast Eddie hanging with Brett Hull. That's a party I need to be invited to. And joining us on the line, the one and only Fast Eddie from Fast Eddie's Bonaire in Alton, where they're always serving up a lot of fun, great food. You got to tell us, hanging with Brett Hull, you got an idea what that might be like. What was it actually like in person?
I'd say imagine it and then multiply it, because it's real. That's him. That's who it is. And it's that much fun, man.
You're a guy who likes to have fun. But like Brett Hull takes it to another level.
I party for a living, and I teach people how to party. And that guy can come right along with me any day. He can keep up with the best of them.
I party for a living, and I teach people how to party. That's it, man. You know what I've said about Fast Eddie's? It's a mood-changing experience. I've never been in there and looked around and seen anybody in a bad mood. You might see them walking in with a frown, but boy, once they sit, and there's always groups of people. They could be mad at their boss or their dog, and all of a sudden they go into Fast Eddie's, and they just nobody's having a bad time.
Yeah, you definitely forget about your troubles. There's no windows for a reason, man.
You leave the world up behind you when you walk in, and it's definitely coming in a bad mood. You leave out of there 12 hours later, you've been laughing all 12 of them.
And I know you love baseball, and you're hanging with Mike Shannon, you're down at Cardinal games, but I think I've sensed this, and I've seen you down there in recent years, certainly with the Cup run, it's been fun, but you've kind of gravitated towards hockey, and there was a night they were fighting back. I was at the TV job, and we were texting, and you said, man, I like this team, because they've got a little bit of balls, and they'll push back.
I love the way they take care of each other, too. It's fun to watch, man. They're really on it. It's just a work team. They got a lot of spirit in the team attitude. These guys are good, man. They're really good.
And it's fun for the city, you know? I mean, I grew up here. Absolutely. You grew up here. Everybody's got like 3 Cardinal shirts in their closet, maybe more.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden you go to the store, you go to Fast Eddie's, everybody's right. wearing Blues gear.
It's amazing, man. I tell you, you go places where you would have always seen 10 to 1, and now it's 10 to 3, you know, if you count the whatever the ratio is. And the Blues people are popping up, man. It's coming out. They're getting into it. More and more new people are watching it. So it's cool, you know. It took some winning to do it, but that's what gets them there.
Everybody loves a winner. Here's what people ask me. They say, what are you going to eat when you go to Fast Eddie's? I'm like, I'm going to probably work my way through the menu if I hang for a couple hours. But they go, what about Eddie? If you're there all the time, what do you order? Do you have a go-to?
I still have a go-to. I order the bratwurst, and then I order the Big Yellow Wood and fries. You got to have our fries. But you have the bratwurst and the Big Elwood are original to the place. You can't get them anywhere else. And you can't go wrong, I promise.
And the doors open at 1 o'clock Monday through Thursday, 11 o'clock on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They've got live music going every single day. I've been there on the weekends where there's live music in back. There's live music on the patio. Party never stops at Fast Eddie's.
Pretty cool.
We'll talk to you soon, my man.
Hey, man. Thanks a lot.
Triad Bank, the neighborhood-friendly bank located in Frontenac on Clayton Road. They're just west of Lindbergh. Real easy access off Highway 64, get to Lindbergh, and you are there. Founded in 2005, wide range of commercial and personal banking services. And how about this? They actually have people behind the counter, people there ready to greet you, ready to help you. Business owners looking to expand, talk to the bank based in St. Louis. Those decisions are being made here. How frustrating is that? You're trying to get a loan for your business, and the decision is made in New York or Los Angeles, not with Triad Bank. You can find out more at triadbanking.com. Home equity lines of credit, 5-star rated bank, $360 million in assets. Check them out, triadbanking.com.
Less than an hour from St. Louis, it's Greenville University. Founded in 1892, this liberal arts institution offers pre-med, offers online student involvement. Yeah, that's right. They'll get involved in local businesses, immersed in the community, a great little town of Greenville, Illinois, less than an hour from St. Louis if you're looking to get away for college, but maybe don't want to go too far. It's right up the road from St. Louis. Great professors, really a great experience. Kids involved in the athletics, but again, everybody is really immersed in what they're doing on the campus at all times. Greenville.edu for more information about this great institution.
We went blue!
Of course, it's Brett Hull bringing us back from our break, and we always like to do a former teammate. And just I kind of perused the stats every once in a while. That 80-81 team was really good, won the Smythe division. And I was looking at Jorgen Pedersen's career numbers because I used to go to games at the Checker Dome, and I love the sweet Swede going up and down the ice. I didn't realize his first 3 years how prolific he was. 37 goals, 38 goals, 35 goals. When I mentioned Jorgen Pedersen, what comes to mind?
Really, a natural goal scorer. I mean, the Swede was one of those guys that was so easygoing. I mean, it's funny, you mentioned his name. The first summer that he was here, we actually had a charity slow-pitch softball game that we played. And his hand-eye coordination was unbelievable. He really never played ball at all. I mean, in Sweden, they don't do that. So he actually, first pitch, he hit it, and he ran third base. So that's what I always remember about the Swede. But he could score. One of the soft-spoken, nice guys that you'll ever see. And he still comes around now. I mean, he's actually I think he works for Callaway Golf in Sweden. He still comes into town every once in a while and plays golf. So he had a heck of a career, and I don't think he gets enough credit for the way he could score goals.
Yeah, it's interesting. After he left St. Louis, only lasted a couple more years in the league. I remembered him. I could just picture him skating. And is there a stereotype when you get a guy from Sweden? Are they always great skaters?
Well, I think they skate differently. I mean, he was so straight up, too. I mean, he really wasn't bent over. It's almost like he sat on back on the heels of his skate, and he was very, very smooth. I mean, that's the whole thing. Most of those Swedes skate so well, yes, they're smooth, and really there's really no effort to their stride. So he was one of those guys. And it really was a surprise that after he left us here, I thought he would have had a really long, long career. But, you know, unfortunately, a couple of things happened, and he didn't stay around. But, again, a lot of the guys get homesick, I think, like to go back and he's one of those guys, and he'll always be one of the big alumni for our hockey club.
All right, the countdown is on for the All-Star Game Enterprise Center the weekend of the 24th, 25th. First off, do you like the Friday-Saturday split, doing the skills on Friday night, then the game being moved from Sunday? I think initially when they awarded the Blues, it might have been on Sunday, but it is Saturday night. What do you think of that layout?
Yeah, I like that idea. You know, we've always been really a Saturday night in hockey is always the big night. Hockey night in Canada or the big sport was always a Saturday night. So I think, you know, with football, it's mainly always Sunday afternoon. It's one of those things, the Super Bowl and this and that. And I think for hockey to be on a Saturday makes much more sense to me. So having the skills of Friday and the Saturday for the game is really, I'm glad that the National Hockey League changed it to that format.
And I know I'm old school. I wish it was still the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. I think I like the idea too of just lining up guys that, you know, you would see regularly, and now those Red Wings guys are your teammates, or, you know, I mean, I know you can still get that because they do it with the divisions, but I think fans get a little confused at the format. I know we've done European versus North American. What do you think the ideal format is?
I am 100% with you. I think it should be East versus West. There's still two different conferences going on. I mean, I don't like this three-on-three hockey. It's really pond hockey for an All-Star game. I think that they need to go back, in my opinion, to really the East versus West, have a five-on-five, go to a three-on-three if it's a tie, and go to a shootout if you have to. But, I mean, it should be a regular game. I think the fans want to see that, and I think it's much more real hockey when you get the five-on-five hockey like you really do during the Stanley Cup, or really for the matter of the regular season. I don't know why they changed it to that.
Yeah, it almost seems like a video game when you watch it now. You know, they're scoring left and right. If I were a goalie, I'm not sure I want to play in this game because there's zero defense.
Yeah, it's no fun for the goaltenders, and I mean, we don't want to see. I mean, I think people really like to see grinding hockey, and I think that, I mean, the Blues are a perfect example. I mean, they're a team that grinds it out, and they're the team that's been very successful winning a cup this last year because they can grind. And yeah, it's nice to see the skills that guys have, but I mean, I go back to our day. You still had, you know, a lot of different assets that were in an All-Star game, and you really played the way that you always played the regular season. I mean, and to have the three-on-three hockey, you see this guy's skills, but you really don't see the teamwork that really is so important in the game of hockey.
And how about a public service announcement? Bernie Federico does not have any extra tickets. I'm sure there's been a few calls. even the boys are probably, Dad, come on, just a couple. Come on. This is going to have to be one of the toughest tickets in a long time.
It is going to be a tough ticket, and for the price of them, I mean, people need to save up to go to the All-Star. I mean, it's still going to be a lot of fun. And I think the hype of it is so spectacular because, I mean, all the guys that come in, they really enjoy the game itself, but they like the community that they're getting out, and there's going to be all kinds of different events that I think is going to be just as much fun as going to the game. So, I mean, I think the game is going to be sold out very easily, but I think it's the events that surround the game all over the city, I think that's going to be everybody's going to be able to get involved with and have an awful lot of fun with.
Bernie, have yourself a great week. Always fun talking hockey.
Thanks, Martin. You too. You have a great week.
The Hall of Famer, Bernie Federico with us, presented by Urban Chestnut, Marie Davila Senior Living, Greenville University, Fast Eddie's Bonaire, and our good friends at Triad Bank.